We're going to do a little different study than our Luke study this morning, since it's Easter, and we have some banners hanging up for Easter. This one says, "Hallelujah, he is risen," Matthew 28:6. This one says, "He died so that we may live," 1 Thessalonians 5:10. That's for the benefit of those that are online. There's a lot of people online and can't always read all these things. Now you've had time to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, which most of you know is the resurrection chapter. We're going to read the first 8 verses. This is the Apostle Paul writing. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," that's another name for Peter, "then of the 12 kingdom apostles. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some are fallen asleep," meaning some of them have died. "After that, he was seen of James," this James is the Lord's brother, "then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time." So our apostle Paul here, he tells us in verses 1 and 2, the declaration of the foundational principles upon which Paul's gospel is founded. And he notes that it is important for us to keep in memory these facts which Paul preached. We got to keep this in memory. Sometimes we don't remember things too well, but let's remember what Paul preached. And then Paul, he reviews the facts about the foundation upon which his gospel message was preached. Turn back. We're going to stay in 1 Corinthians 15, but turn back to 1 Corinthians 3 for a minute. And some of the foundational, fundamental principles that Paul first taught are found in 1 Corinthians 3. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:11. You can read more than this later on your own, but Paul says, "For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So the foundation of Paul's gospel message is Jesus Christ. That's pretty plain and simple. And according to 1 Corinthians 15:2 in our text, Paul wants us to keep in memory what he preached. He preached Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:3, Paul emphasizes 2 points. The first point is that his gospel message was something he received, not something that was made up, not something that he learned from his Old Testament teachers, but it was something he received. So let's discuss this for a moment. And when did Paul first receive his gospel message? On the road to Damascus. You've been staying, haven't you, Hagen? I know you have. I'm just teasing. But that's the correct answer. And, and you all knew that. So it was on the road to Damascus when Paul became a believer that he first began to receive his gospel message. And I'll have you turn to Romans 10, verse 4. Our apostle Paul, as you know, most likely, he was the former Saul of Tarsus. He was famous for persecuting Christians. He was famous for making havoc of the early church. This according to Acts 8:3. And as he was traveling to Damascus to arrest and persecute some more devout believers in Christ Jesus, he himself was arrested. The word arrested means to seize or to take into custody by the authority of the law. That's what arrested means. Well, the only law Saul of Tarsus knew was the law of Moses. In Romans 10:4, I had you turn there, it informs us, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So it was our resurrected Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus himself, the one who was the end of the law for righteousness, who arrested Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. So important was this event that the Holy Ghost had our brother Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, record it in three different places at three different times. Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26. Turn to Acts 26. These all tell the story of the arrest of Saul of Tarsus. And Luke's account that he wrote in Acts 26, he wrote this as a recorded what the former Saul of Tarsus, our apostle Paul, told to King Agrippa about him getting saved. Acts 26, we'll start in verse 12. And Paul is speaking here, and he's speaking to King Agrippa. He's on trial. And he says, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Note this. 16 through 18 is one sentence. But rise and stand upon thy feet, Jesus said to him, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, which is the Jews, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. That, if you look that up, that means to send forth as an apostle. He was our apostle, sent to the Gentiles. Verse 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So that was a lot for him to take in all at once, and he remembered it, but to learn what was being told him took several years, and he'd probably been saved in the neighborhood of 25 years or more when he told King Agrippa this account. And when Saul of Tarsus said on the road to Damascus to the Jesus, that bright light that appeared unto him, who art thou, Lord? He was confessing that he believed in his heart that he was talking to the resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go to Romans 10. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians 15. In Romans 10, Paul later wrote this familiar portion that I think all of you know. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It tells us there that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What we just read in Acts 26, verses 16 through 18, we noted this, that the Lord was telling him that he would become the Apostle Paul, and that is when he began to receive his gospel message. Not that he understood it at that time fully, but that's when he began to receive it. And Jesus told him, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister. Well, that wasn't on his bucket list of things to do. To be a minister? Come on. To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. If you'll study, go to Galatians 1. If you'll study Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12, you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ did reveal Paul's gospel message unto him. Galatians, it's right before 1 Corinthians. And Galatians 1, 11 says, but I certify you, brethren, certify, that's you all have a license or authority to do your job, to do the work you're doing. You've had special training, probably, to do what you do. Well, Paul's saying, I got special authority to do what I do. I got a certificate from the Lord Jesus Christ. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, meaning by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't have this in my notes, but I remember when we studied the life of the Apostle Paul, I tried to count how many times the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Paul along the way. And I think I got to 8 or 9 times and quit trying to count, because I don't think you can account all that. But his gospel message came by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Back in our text in 1 Corinthians 15:3, we find the second foundational point of Paul's gospel message, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. This wasn't something that he was taught by Gamaliel and those teachers. This was something that was revealed to him. He could no longer argue that fact as the bright light of the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, that Christ was indeed risen, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And the scriptures that he's referring to, there are many of them. Isaiah 53 is just one of the many portions of scripture Paul was referencing here. Paul also wrote in Galatians 1:4 concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you turn there, Galatians 1:4. We're not in such a big hurry that we can't stop and read all this stuff. Galatians 1:4. And Paul's writing this concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. This present evil world hasn't got any better since Paul's day. It's still a present evil world. But Christ Jesus did give himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. go back to Romans 5. I'm not trying to do a Bible study here, but it just kind of comes out when you're studying these things. Romans 5, we'll read two verses, Romans 5, 6 and Romans 5, 8. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5, 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." In verse 8, Paul writes, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You've seen that bumper sticker, "Christ died for us"? That's where they get this. It's a quote from Romans 5, 8. And in Philippians 2, 8, you'll find this statement. "Christ Jesus died the death of the cross." That's found in Philippians 2, 8. I looked this up this morning. The Apostle Paul mentions the cross upon which Jesus died 11 times in his writings. So it wasn't a foreign thing to him, the cross. Christ Jesus died the death of the cross. Back in 1 Corinthians 15, 4, Paul emphasizes two more points, a third and a fourth foundational point that we are to keep in memory. Remember, we're to remember all these things, to keep in memory these things that he taught us. And these points are that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's why we're here on Easter celebrating the fact that he rose again. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. So the third foundational point of Paul's gospel message was that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was buried after dying for our sins on the cross of Calvary. There are 29 verses of scripture, we're not going to look at any of them, that mention the fact that he was of the sepulcher in which he was buried. And then the fourth point of emphasis that Paul's gospel message mandates that we keep in memory is that Christ Jesus rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Realize that the majority of the world does not believe this. Realize the majority of believers do not believe this. Let me explain. Last Friday, we celebrated Good Friday. They celebrate Good Friday, the world does, as the day Jesus was crucified. But Jesus had told his disciples and those that would listen to him that he would suffer many things and be killed and be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's found in Matthew 12, 40. Now, probably in first grade or kindergarten, you learn some simple math. And by simple math, we know that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday equals 3 days. Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night equal three nights. So we know Jesus was crucified on a Thursday. And go to Matthew 12, 40, which we just referenced. This is Jesus speaking here, Matthew 12, 40. And he was talking about Jonah. Matthew 12, 40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." That's pretty simple, isn't it? Go to Mark 8, 31. It tells us a similar thing. Mark, so Matthew, Mark 8, 31. I'm sure you got these scriptures underlined in your Bible. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And then Jesus began teaching this fact shortly after he began his public ministry. Go to John, the second chapter, John 2. And we find there in John 2, 19 through 22, what Jesus told the Jews at the temple in Jerusalem, these Jews who had made this temple a house of merchandise. We talked a little about that in previous Sunday school lessons in recent weeks. In John 2:19, we read this, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But Jesus, he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, those would be about a little over 3 years after this point in time, his disciples, the ones that were closest to him, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus said. But it took them 3 years to believe this. And Paul wants us to keep in memory the things that he was teaching us. I hope it don't take us 3 years to get it. Not only did the disciples remember his teaching that he would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, but after his death, we find the chief priests of the Jews and certain Pharisees coming again to Pilate. And they had an urgent request that's found in Matthew 27. So go back to Matthew 27. That's a big chapter. We'll go to verse 62. It says, now, the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way and make it as sure as you can. Some of the watch that the Jews had were also Roman soldiers. You can study history and find that out. So they went, verse 66, and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. But in spite of their effort, Jesus did indeed arise from the dead the third day, as we read there in 1 Corinthians 15:4, which says there, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, my mom will probably kill me later for doing this, but that's fine. That's okay. I'll let her, okay? But for those of you who still don't believe that Jesus was crucified on Thursday, take the time to study the following, and I'll reference this. The story of the Palm Sunday, which our pastor preached about last week, is recorded several places. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 17. Mark 11, 1 through 10. Also Luke 19, 29 through 38. And John 12, verses 12 through 19. And all of these accounts should be studied together to get the full picture of what took place that day. So this is a quiz. What day did Palm Sunday happen on? Scott got it. Sunday, right? Okay. And again, our pastor went over this last week, and he highlighted the colt which was reserved for the bride of Christ. And if you weren't here on his Palm Sunday message preached on Palm Sunday, go back and review it. And now, in Matthew 21:18, right after all of this, it starts out, "Now in the morning." What would be in the morning from Palm Sunday? Monday morning. Now, all that was written from Matthew 21:18 through Matthew 25 happened on Monday of the Passion Week. 89 chapters are written in the four gospel records concerning Jesus Christ. 25 and a half of them have to do with the last week of his life. It's an important time. Okay, go to Matthew 26, 1 and 2. So we just read all that took place starting on Monday. And then, "And it came to pass when Jesus finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. So Jesus said, after 2 days, he said that on Monday. Okay, 2 days, Tuesday, Wednesday. So the Jews reckon a day from sunset to sunset. We are familiar with the Roman calendar, reckon a day from midnight to midnight. But Thursday in Jesus' time began at sunset on Wednesday, and that fulfills Exodus 12:6, where the Passover was between the evening of Wednesday and Thursday. In Luke 22:15, we studied this in recent weeks. We read Jesus' words to his disciples, and he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The Last Supper, which is what he was talking about, where this Jesus ate this Passover with his disciples, occurred on Wednesday evening, which the Jews reckon is Thursday, okay? And then if you'll study Mark 15:25, you will see that at 9 the next morning, which was Thursday morning, he was placed on the cross, okay? Now, we're still discussing the important point there found in 1 Corinthians 15:4, where Paul tells us that we are to keep in memory this fact about Christ Jesus, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. go to Mark 16. This third day is what we call Easter Sunday. We just showed you how that was. Sunday is also called the first day of the week. In Mark 16:9, if you're there, you'll find, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. Those of you who have Scofield Bibles, and I know there's a lot of you that do, go back and review his footnotes of Matthew 28 And there he gives the appearances of Jesus after his resurrection. And the Apostle Paul gave some appearances there in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 8, which we read. But it wasn't a complete list that Paul wrote. On the day of his resurrection, as we just read in Mark 16:9, Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene. In John 20, verses 1 through 18, we find some more information added to this account. And you can study that on your own. And you'll find there that, secondly, Jesus appeared on the day of his resurrection to the women returning from visiting the empty tomb, which is explained in Matthew 28, 8 through 10. And the third appearance of Jesus Christ on the day of his resurrection was something that the Apostle Paul referenced in 1 Corinthians 15, 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, that he was seen of Peter. And that's where the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 begins his fifth important point of focus that we are to keep in memory, which is our resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was indeed seen after his resurrection by multiple individuals, by groups of people, and at many different times and places. All were witnesses to his resurrection. You couldn't argue with them about the fact that they seen the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here in 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8, Paul mentions six different people or companies of people who were witnesses of Jesus after his resurrection at different times. Let's read it again. 1 Corinthians 15, 5. And he was seen of Cephas, which is Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, down the road, a few years, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. If you'll track Schofield's list of Jesus' appearances after his resurrection, he again lists more than Paul did here. Paul left out that on the same day of his resurrection, Jesus also appeared to the two Emmaus disciples. That's in Luke 24:27. And in 1 Corinthians 15:7, Paul mentions that Jesus appeared unto James, and that James was the Lord's brother. Remember, at the time of his crucifixion, neither did his brethren, his brothers, believe in him. That's why Jesus turned the care of his mother over to the Apostle John. But Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared to his brother, James. Be hard to argue with that, wouldn't it? As when James became a believer. You'll find in Acts 1 that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers were there. They were part of that group that was filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts 2. Okay. How do you suppose Paul knew that James appeared, that Jesus appeared to James after his resurrection? He learned that by interviewing James, and you'll find that in Galatians 1:19. And then in John 21, you'll find another time, we talked about this recently also, where Jesus appeared unto seven of his disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And Acts 1:3, go there for a second. This we find here of multiple appearances by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ after his resurrection. And it says there in Acts 1:3, to whom also he, Jesus, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The word infallible means positive proof. And then there's some other positive proofs. Stephen seen Jesus standing on the right hand of God in Acts 7:57. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:8, which we read this morning, Paul wrote, last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Go back a few chapters to 1 Corinthians 9:1, and Paul wrote there, have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? And he had. Okay, now I could go on about this, but we just briefly showed there were several appearances of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ after his resurrection. And Paul's gospel message teaches us that we should be looking for one more. And that's the important part of this whole thing. In Titus 2:13, we are instructed to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his very first epistle, we'll close with this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul writes, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again.